Calling all boomers, is this 2005 Cadillac XLR the most boomer car ever?
Nerd! Get those nerds!
Hey guys, you know what that sound means? It means it's time for a brand new edition of the Bid Nerd, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. I'm John Polnick, along with my partner in San Francisco, Michael Deeb. How are you, sir?
Very good, JP. What's happening, man? Happy 4th of July week, and it's July now. Maybe it's not too early to start telling people we're going to do a Cars und Cafe in the Bay Area at the end of the month. Can we just do it? Let's plug that.
Yeah.
John suggested to me, honestly, a while ago, he was like, why don't we do a Cars und here? Because I, you know, when COVID hit and I didn't have anything to do with the Bay Area, I was coming back to Vegas in 2020 every month for Cars and Cafe, and rummaging through all the stuff that I put in a warehouse in Vegas because I kept thinking we were going to return. But now as life goes on and we're all busy, I can't make it out to Vegas. So if it, JP's like, well, let's just bring Cars und Cafe to San Francisco and that I should host it. So we have a place picked out in Brisbane at the Pit Stop, which is one of my favorite automotive little dens in the greater Bay Area. There's some cool cars there to see. We'll provide some coffee and some breakfast pastries, and we're gonna, you know, essentially, as JP had suggested, link it up so that it corresponds exactly with the one in Vegas. So it'll be the last Sunday of every month moving forward, that'll be at 350 Industrial Way. It'll be Porsche heavy, but not brand agnostic, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah, man. That's exciting.
What time do I have to be there, JP?
Right. Yeah, Cars und Cafe, the last Sunday of the month, now both in the Las Vegas Arts District and San Francisco in Brisbane. Mark your calendar if you're in the Bay Area. I'm probably going to try to get up there and be there for that. I think Jason Alter was talking about coming up there. He's getting his 964 back, so he's super stoked to put some miles on it. And, looking forward to it, guys. If you haven't been to a Cars und Cafe, it's like a little mini Luft, we do it every month in these two cities. And there's rumor has it there might be a city on the East Coast that's going to start, and also up in the Northwest. So stuff is happening with the Cars und Cafe. But let's hear. Let's get right to today's car. Shout out to our good friends at God and Classic of Las Vegas. They support our show, and we suggest that you support them because they really are classic. But they're the first Porsche classic dealer in North America, and look, they're the best at it. They know what they're doing. They're awesome, and so check them out if you're looking for a classic Porsche or need parts or service for your classic Porsche. Give God and Classic a try. All right, Michael Deeb, what is today's most interesting car of the day, and what platform is it on? What do we do?
So this starts with a little bit of a confession, because I read, and you had already read, one of the Nerd Herd, and I think it was Anthony. JP, please forgive me if I've got it wrong. And Anthony, please forgive me if it's not you. It's somebody else. But somebody said, hey, why don't you cover? And I thought XJR. You're telling me XLR. So we're going to cover this 2005 Cadillac XLR for Anthony, maybe. That's how good we are at our
Someone
own
in
show.
The Nerd Herd wanted us to review one of these.
Yeah, somebody wanted us to cover a car, so we just picked this car out of the Rolodex, and we're just making up a name to attach to it. There you go. You're welcome. This 2005 Cadillac XLR is on Bring a Trailer, JP. It is in Corpus Christi, Texas, and showing just 36,000 miles. Now, this car does have a 4.6-liter Northstar V8. I think that motor makes about 300 horsepower, but it's not the V, which was sort of their hot rod version that had like tuned suspension and probably a higher speed rated tire. But somehow these cars, which I believe, John, were built on Corvette, 2005 is going to be what, C4 or C5 platform Corvettes? I think these were built on the C5 Corvette platform. And back in period, I thought these cars would really appeal to the American public. You know, it's basically a luxurious Corvette out of, you know, GM's parts warehouse. You know, when you close your eyes and you look at the silhouette of the car, you could see, you know, sort of the Corvette basic shape and architecture. And yet in the secondary market, these cars don't bring a lot of money. Now, this car looks to be in spectacular condition. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that they never really made these cars with a manual transmission. Am I right in saying that you could never get a Cadillac with a stick shift on these?
I believe you're correct, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that had something to do with it. But I honestly thought that the, you know, the boomer that wanted to drive his golf clubs to the country club and not be in a Corvette, that this was his car. And I commended Cadillac in period for the sharp crease edges. The design language that went through all of their SUVs and sedans was apparent. And I thought, you know, I think this car is easy on the eyes for what it was back then. But these cars just haven't aged well from a collector standpoint. So anyways, this car is beautiful in silver with the light gray interior. The dash in these cars, GM did not go very well towards making luxurious interiors. They splashed some wood around the rim of the steering wheel, and you had power buttons for everything. There were no analog dials on this. It had a digital readout and all this sort of nonsense. But they did not do interiors very well. I thought the outside was very modern, was very edgy, and it made sense with Cadillac's design language. But the interior was typical GM. It was the same kind of crap you'd find in a Suburban or a Yukon Denali. And maybe that's what hurt it. Maybe that's what plagues it today. So the interior doesn't look like a place I'd want to spend a lot of time on. But the shape of the car is something that I think, you know, young guys who are into cars would turn their head and go, ooh, daddy, what's that? You know, that kind of thing. 300 horsepower. The gearbox is terrible. These cars never really handled. They look sporty, but they're not sports cars. Retractable hardtop JP, again, was very modern, but didn't really do anything to boost sales. So here we go, John. We're looking at this car today. What do you think is going to happen? Again, the secondary market has never been kind to these cars. I tried to cover a couple of Vs in the history of our show, and every time I think I've overbid those things thinking, oh, well, here's a really low-mile collector one, and it's a V. It's going to bring big money, and they don't. This one's not even a V. So what do you think is going to happen here? Did you ever like these cars? Thanks for the submission, Anthony, if I got all that right.
Well, I mean, you said, daddy, what's that? I mean, I think that is the correct word. It's funny, you know, this is definitely an old guy car, right? I mean, it's an alternative to the SL500 of the era. If you didn't know better, I mean, we know that it was built on a Corvette platform, but, you know, looking at this thing, you would think it was like, you know, Chevrolet did a partnership with Mercedes or something like they were when they were with Chrysler for a while. You know, if Chrysler were to, Chrysler made a version of the SLK, what was that called?
Right.
The Crossfire.
Yep.
This looks like what they would have made if they made a version of the SL500. This looks more like the W129 SL500 with the, you know, boxy lines than it does the newer ones that are all swoopy. But all that said, it's funny. When I first moved to Vegas, we knew this guy. He had a super nice guy. He had a Ferrari 348 convertible Spider. And he let me drive it a few times. And he saw me in my Volkswagen thing. And we swapped the Volkswagen thing for the 348 and drove around. And he was like, God damn you get more attention in this Volkswagen thing than I do in that stupid Ferrari. And, you know, bringing it back to daddy, you know, he had a young strumpet Russian Tiki Chu girlfriend that hated the Ferrari, but she loved this thing. He had one of these, and he thought she thought it was great because it was all modern and plush and had the hard top. You know how old Ferraris are. They're creaky and, you know, the air conditioning doesn't work right and nothing works right. You know, so she was way happier in the modern car than she was the F car. But I don't know if he still has either of these cars. All I know is this car, if you get one cheap, I think it'd be a great, you know, daily driver, like here in a place like Las Vegas, because you got that hard top that goes up and down. So you have a nice, cool place to be. It's not someplace that's cool in the sense that it looks cool, but at least the temperature is going to stay nice and cool. And then drop the top when you're cruising down the strip or whatever. This thing isn't going to handle very well. It's not a sports car by any means. It's going to be kind of a heavy pig, kind of like a Corvette. But I think for the same money, though, I'm getting an SL500. or an SL550 or something like that. I think that these are probably going to be, we'll get to the, you know, our predictions here in a second, but you're talking about a $15,000 to $25,000 car, depending on miles and condition and all that stuff. Same thing with an SL, you know, heck, you probably get an SL55 for about that, for somewhere in the same price range. And who wouldn't want a 55 over something like this? What's that?
SL55. SL55 all day long, yeah. Going with your analogy. What's interesting, JP, about the story you were talking about, your neighbor and his little import girlfriend, the years that they made the XLR is the same year as the 348 was in production. So like one car is not necessarily older than the other. Their production runs are almost identical.
I think his Strumpet was made in the same year.
Yeah, probably. So, JP, our car is sitting at $18,000 on just 7 bids, and it closes really soon. Again, I look at this car, I look at the low mileage, I think about, like, you know, it's based on a Corvette, and I think immediately, okay, soft in the secondary market, $25,000 all day long. But I have overbid on Cadillacs all the time, so I'm going to really temper that and bring it back and say, I don't know if this car even breaks it to $20,000. So I'm going to say $20,000 final bid, and I don't even feel good about that because I always overbid these things. But at 18 grand, I'm comfortable going to 20 as I send it back to you. What do you think is going to happen, John?
I'm going to go under. I'm going to go 19.
It only makes another $1,000.
Yeah, if that. Maybe a couple more bids at like $200 a pop. There's no way this thing's worth more than 20. I'm with you. I was going to say the same thing, honestly. So you stole my thunder. All right, what do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below, and we will find out how much this hardline vet goes for right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. All right, guys, welcome to the future. We have jumped. We've gotten in. We got our flex capacitor. What's that show from the 80s where the guy, Quantum Leap, remember that? Quantum Leap? He would bounce around to alternate realities.
So like that. I went to Office Space when you said jumped. I was going to say two conclusions. Do you remember that?
We've got to jump to conclusion, Matt, right here. I got it rolled up. I was going to play a... about of that when we're done here. Jumping to conclusions, kind of like we did on the last episode about P-Car Market, because our conclusions were correct, though, I'm sure. P-Car Market. Okay, so we are not talking about P-Car Market today. We're talking about this Cadillac. The bid nerds, a nerd herd suggestion. He wanted us to talk about an XLR. I don't really know why, but here it is. Let's talk about what happened with this XLR.
BAT, Anthony or somebody else wanted us to cover this XLR or XJR, whatever it is. We just picked this car to satisfy whatever that question was. This 36,000 mile example of a 2005 Cadillac Corvette called an XLR. I said $20,000 because these things have historically been soft in the secondary market. John, you came in underneath me at $19,000. When we were looking at the car, it was at $18,000. Our car only got one more bid and sold for $18,500 on just 8 bids. Imagine that, JP. You've got a 2005 Cadillac with less than 40,000 miles, and you call BAT to put it up on their site, and you agreed to a reserve that was under 18 grand. I mean, it's just, you just like, wah, wah, wah. You just know your car's not worth anything. Anyway, so there you go. I mean, these cars just continue to prove that GM doesn't make collectibles. Like, it's just kind of weird, right?
Well, how much would a 2005 Corvette with this many miles be worth?
I don't know. Not much.
Probably around the same, I guess. An XLR, whenever I never understood the name. This is an XLR cable right here, right? It's a three-prong XLR cable. That's what plugs into these microphones here. I just, what a weird name. I always just think of studio equipment when I think of this car. I don't know. What is it with car brands thinking that the letter X is so like, oh, we put X in there, it's going to be, ooh, I think it's future or something like that. It's like a boomer. Definitely a boomer named this car.
Yeah. All right, let me look up the Corvette.
Yeah,
he's
looking up the Corvette. Yeah, what's a Corvette of the same? And which would you rather have? Convertible Corvette of the same vintage or this car?
All right, what condition would you say this is? Concourse, excellent, or good?
I'd say it's in excellent condition. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt.
$32,000 would be the Hagerty insured value. And I'm going to go back and say 05. Let's do this one more time, just for poops and giggles. 05.
With Cadillac. An automatic? You gotta wonder about that number, because it's like, I would think that maybe a manual with that kind of miles and in excellent condition might bring that, but I don't think an automatic one would. I think an automatic one would bring 20-ish.
So Hagerty says that the excellent XLR is worth $34,000.
Okay.
So about the same money, really. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, to your point. And again, in the real world, I don't like excellent condition car. It didn't even bring 20. The good number is 22,000, and it didn't even bring that. It missed that by $3,500. I mean, these cars are so soft. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know. Neat car though, I guess. For less than 20 grand, that's a pretty nice cruiser.
It's got to be reliable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's GM. They're kind of bulletproof, I would think. You know, maybe the HVAC system would give out, but I would assume that the motor, the drivetrain, and the brakes are all perfect. You know, fine to drive if you're so
it's like a good Vegas or, you know, Phoenix car. You have your retirement place or your winter place if you're you're a retired guy and you want to go golfing in the summer or in the winter time and you live in Chicago or something. So you have a place in Scottsdale condo. You keep one of these in there and your golf clubs in the back and it's a cheap ass car that looks good.
What about Touring that car in Vegas? You think that would do okay? Would you get your 18 grand back?
Who the hell would tour? I mean, what are you going to get for it? $100 a day, if that? $50 a day? I don't know. I mean, I guess I would rather rent this than a Kia Disappointmente or something like that. But I mean, I just don't see anyone. Yeah. I guess maybe, like, when you use Turo, are you looking for something specific or do you like kind of cruise to her? Like, okay, I'm going to go to this area. I'm going to be in whatever city at whatever time. Let's see what's available on Turo. Or do you say
something fun, you know?
Yeah. I guess, you know, maybe if it were cheaper, but I think it would take a long time to recover your 20 grand at, you know, $50 or $100 a pop. The Turo market is one of those kind of areas that people are a little like, I've heard of people buying cars. Like if you got a loan on this car and then Turoed it,
you'd be in trouble.
You could be in trouble, right? Your loan.
Yeah. If somebody crashes it, you'd be screwed up.
One, you may not get your insurance may not cover it. And two, your loan may be rescinded. Like the bank may repo the car. If they know that you're renting the car, right? That's something that we talked about in our previous episode.
Absolutely. I mean, but again, if you're borrowing money on an $18,000 Cadillac for Turo, you got bigger problems than the bank repoing your car.
Yeah, and who would lend $20,000 for a car like this? I mean, that's a classic car at this point. I mean,
I know.
You're paying a pretty high interest rate. I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below. Cadillac XLR. This video will get 14 views. If you're one of those 14 people, we really do appreciate you guys hanging out.
All 14 people get stickers.